pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
To the republic.
Which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sunshine notice, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Mayor. Board of Commissioners, public meeting agenda for Tuesday, May 6, 2025. The time is now 7:14. Pursuant to the requirements of the Open Public Meeting Act, Chapter 231, Public Law 1975, notice of this meeting was published in the November 21st, 2024 issues of the Nutley Sun, the Herald News, and the Star Ledger. A copy of this notice has been posted on the Nutley Town Hall Bulletin Board, and a copy is on file in the Municipal Clerk's Office. Commissioner Evans.
Here.
Commissioner Tucci.
Here.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Here.
Commissioner Petracca.
Here.
Mayor Kelly.
Present.
All present, Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Communications, please.
Yes, thank you. We have several this evening. Conker Brothers Management 4 LLC, the Old Canal Inn, has submitted an application for an extension of premises to hold an event on Saturday, June 7th, 2025, from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. at 2 East Passaic Avenue. The Time Food Service LLC has submitted an application for a catering permit for the JTCC CDI retreat on Tuesday, June 24, 2025, from 5:15 p.m. to 7:15 p.m. at the Hackensack Meridian Health Center for Discovery and Innovation at 111 Ideation Way. The VFW Holding Company of Nutley has submitted an application for a social affair permit for their Memorial Day celebration to be held on Monday, May 26, 2025, from 2 p.m. to 11 p.m. at 271 Washington Ave. And the last one is Commissioner Tucci has submitted an application for a street concert on Thursday, June 26, 2025, on Franklin Avenue from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. between Chestnut Street and William Street. Motion, please.
Move it.
Second.
Commissioner Evans.
I understand Commissioner Tucci is going to do a solo that night.
Song and a dance, yes.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracca?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
And that's it for communications.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Reports, Commissioner Tucci?
I have a shade tree report. Get the right page here. For the month of
March.
March.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Scarpelli?
Yes, Mayor, I have various monthly reports for the Department of Public Works.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Petracca?
Yes, I have our Department of Public Safety reports for April. Thank you.
Thank you. Bills, Madam Clerk?
Thank you, Mayor. Bill list for May 6, 2025. Public Affairs, $173,077.18. Revenue and Finance, $8,519,966.09. Public Safety, $214,507.48. Public Works, $58,039.31. Parks and Public Property, $1,157,203.24. Payroll as of April 25th, 2025. Regular payroll total, $1,062,448.99. Overtime payroll total, $70,159.61. Total payroll, $1,132,608.60. For a grand total of $11,304,570.09.
Move the bills.
Second.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye, with the exception of item number 2500890. I abstain on that one.
Okay. Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracca.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Aye.
And that's it for bills, Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. At this time, we'll have public comment on agenda items only. This is public comment on agenda items only. Those wishing to be heard on agenda items only, please approach the microphone and say your name for the record, please. Thank you. Seeing none, we'll move into Board of Commissioner announcements. Commissioner Evans?
Nothing this evening, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. We have the DMVs coming on May 14th. They'll be here between, I think it's 9 or 10?
9 to 3.
3 p.m. at the 44 Park Avenue. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Tucci?
Yes, just one announcement, weather permitting, this Friday, beginning at 6 o'clock and ending at 8 o'clock, we have the Greater Nutley Cancer Foundation Festival of Hope. We're watching the weather very carefully. The prediction is not a good one, so we're still a little uncertain, but if the weather's fine, please come out, everyone, and support it.
Thank you. Commissioner Scarpelli?
Thank you, Mayor. We have one of my favorite events, Big Truck Day on Saturday from 12 to 2 in parking lot 9. That's the lot next to Ciccolini. Good for big kids and little kids to come out and see the big trucks that the Department of Public Works has. 12 to 2. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Commissioner Petracco?
Yes, Mayor, thank you. I just would like to bring up being a father of a high school child and a business owner in town and a commissioner of some of these Board of Ed meetings that I've been watching. And I'm just wondering if it's true or false about these JV sports programs, these paraprofessionals. And it just seems like being a commissioner and a business owner in this town, you know, that the information hasn't been delivered, you know, as much as I think I would like. I won't speak for the rest of the board, but I really think it would be a tragedy. And my son, by the way, never played any sports. To cut a sport program, a music program, or anything else in this town, I've been saying it up here for 18 years, how our schools go is how our town will go. That's how our property values will go. And I'm hoping, and I'm not being a critic of anybody tonight, but I'm hoping that the information that we're receiving is not true. I don't know where these cuts are going to be or what they're coming, but I would really appreciate a little bit more transparency. During our last campaign, we talked about One Nutley, and I know I will speak for our board if there's anything that we could help to do, you know, to move these schools forward and the situation at hand. I'm sure we would do that, even though we are two separate boards. But all this, you know, talk about cutting. I mean, the children of this town are precious prizes, and education is a big, important factor in how our town moves forward. Thank you, Mayor.
Mayor, it may be a good idea to have our education committee set up a meeting with the board and sit down and figure out where the miscommunication lies.
Mayor, if I might.
Yep.
Commissioner, I think that's an excellent suggestion. Actually, it's something that we have already spoken about, and there was supposed to be a meeting set up. We were just waiting for a date, and I guess they got caught up in whatever they were doing budget-wise. But I'd just like to comment on what Commissioner Petracco said. I totally agree with what you're saying. It's very important, not only for the physical being of our students, all right, but for their futures, because sports and being the Parks and Recreation Commissioner, I can speak to this firsthand. I mean, we're the training ground, all right, for our children going into the high school. You know, children that succeed and participate, all right, no matter what degree they achieve, all right, have opportunities before them to move on to higher education if that's the channel they want to take. All right, so by doing things like this without giving choices, I'm not so sure it was sound logic. All right, I for one would have done things a little differently, but we're all individuals. We all have our own styles of doing things. I like to talk about choices, and choices are probably something that this board is going to be speaking to our residents about moving forward. What we can afford to do, what we can't afford to do, how we go about serving the people of this township in the best way possible. So again, I don't know where these suggestions came from. What I'm hearing is it wasn't the entire board. All right, there were two different discussions, one on how much it was going to be increased, the budget that they agreed upon, and the other being, you know, what was going to stay and what was going not to stay. All right. I know I, for one, and I don't think any commissioner here was informed as to, you know, what the ramifications of different percentages would have been and what the impact would have been on that budget. So I'm hoping to communicate better with the administration moving forward, and, you know, I look forward to that. We've had a great relationship with One Nutley, and we've accomplished a lot together, but we had a little misstep here, and we need to get back on track. Thank you, Mayor.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I don't, Mayor, how do you want to proceed with this? Because this could be a lengthy conversation.
If you have any additional comments, feel free to add. Otherwise, I was going to go into my announcements.
I do. So why don't you do your announcements? We'll come back to this.
Sure. Just to very briefly piggyback, because I know Commissioner Evans has some greater comments in greater detail. But One Nutley has not been lip service, and it has not been forgotten. And I can attest to the fact that every commissioner on this board has worked with the board in some capacity towards that goal and that aspiration of One Nutley. And we have done so both individually and as a board. I know I've done a lot with Kent. We have a standing meeting every month to discuss different health priorities for the schools and different ways we can grow and enhance the education capacities of the school district. And with that said, I'm going to roll into my announcements. And on May 12th, Nutley Family Service Bureau has a mental health event at its offices here in Nutley. On May 14th, next Wednesday, from 6 to 9, we're partnering with Neil to do a hometown, Nutley hometown trivia. This is the first event of its kind, and we hope to see everyone there. There's going to be all Nutley-based questions, so you can really test your hometown pride for the trivia, and it's all indicators it's going to be packed, so look to make a reservation beforehand. On May 15th, we have our mobile blood drive at the Department of Public Affairs and Health from 3:30 to 6:45. And on May 19th, we have a stroke screening at the Department of Public Affairs and Health from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And I'll turn it back over to Commissioner Evans for further comment.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, Al, to your point, is I don't know why the school board chose to communicate the changes that they're going through and the actions that they're taking in the manner that they did that. I think that's up to them to explain. We were supposed to schedule a meeting this week of the Education Committee, but that's been delayed. They're looking to availability next week so that we could sit down and do that. So for example, what I don't understand is if you're going to need to reduce your spending in athletics by $50,000 or 4.6%, and you still are providing $1,030,000 for athletics, how does that translate into eliminating JV sports? Right? I don't think that's necessary. I think the choices that were chosen to highlight, you know, I think instigated a lot of unrest in town. But I think the question is a rooted question, which says, if you have $1,030,000 for athletics in Nutley, why isn't that enough to cover all freshman, sophomore, JV, and varsity sports, whatever that is? So I think that their approach, which we'll have an opportunity to deal with when we see them, but I don't understand why they took the approach that they did. So, but to your point is, for athletics, the root question for me is, if you still have $1,030,000, why are you cutting JV sports? It seems to me that that your athletic director can actually produce a very fine program for all kids with that kind of money, right? Seems like logical to me. The other thing I will point out is that I went online and I grabbed it, is the corrective action plan that was approved by the board on April 17, 2024, related to the actions that were necessary for them to correct the direction of the school board, and they lay that out. It also identifies very plainly, which what we knew is, how did they get to a level of a deficit that's over $7 million? What caused that, right? And there's a lot of conspiracy theories that are out there, and the need for questions about whether or not the AG's office should be contacted, whether or not you need a forensic audit, and all these other things. But when you do look at it, and there's an underlying question as to why, but when you budget 2.3 $2.1 million worth of revenues that are unrealizable because you never got them before. We in our budget, we wouldn't be allowed to put in any revenue dollars greater than the dollars we received the previous year. But they did, for some reason. When you under budget your appropriations by $5 billion, right, including $3 million for health care, which are known budget items, why didn't you budget the right way? And then, you know, you get into why weren't the Chromebooks budgeted? Why wasn't the South Bergen, you know, teachers for special needs budgeted the way it was supposed to be? And they're all good questions, and they're things that, in my mind, never should have happened if you had competent resources that were actually doing it. So there's a root question that gets to me was, in effect, misplaced reliance on resources that shouldn't have been relied on. The school board for years said, our budget's only going up 2%. We're only going up 2%. Well, the cost model that they were dealing with was going up much greater than that. So if you're only going to go up 2% because the cap says you can only go up 2%, right, then you get into an issue that says, wait a minute, if I have to go up higher, then my budget should go out for public comment. Remember the old days? The board, you know, voted in April, the budget was voted on in April, and if it was voted down, it came to us, right? Well, then there was a statutory change that said, no, you can go to November, right? And when you go to November, all you have to do is give it to the county BA, and that would be your state approval, and that's your budget. Well, I think that was a change that actually lessened the level of control that was available, that was no longer available. And personally, I'd like to see it come back, because I think there's greater accountability with that budget if you know you got to get a vote to pass it, right, versus just being able to do it. But one of the things I'll point out is, I saw your comment, and so I just wanted to point out is that in the budget, they call for a zero-based budgeting approach to go visit every area, right, and figure out what do they need to spend money on and what changes are they going to make, which is affecting teacher areas, paraprofessional areas, which all has to be evaluated and looked at, but it's laid out in their plan from last year. So they're executing against the plan that was published and approved and adopted by the state of New Jersey. So they're executing at the plan. It's not willy-nilly. I don't understand why they didn't pull out their corrective action plan and say, these are the actions we're taking and this is the progress we're making against the plan, right? And so there's other questions, I think, that we will go through, but a better form of and choice of communication would improve a lot. So I'll leave it at that because we're here about our budget, not theirs.
Yeah, I just want to add a couple of things. I think not only was there miscommunication between the administration and the board and us, I think there was miscommunication between the administration and the board, based on what I could see and what I heard listening to it that night. It didn't seem to me that the administration and the board were on the same page. So that's not the way we've been operating for the last 4 or 5 years. We've been operating as at least consulting each other, because it does affect the taxpayer one way or another, whether it's the left pocket of the Board of Ed or the right pocket of the Board of Commissioners. And I think we've been very cooperative with both the administration and the Board of Education. We have a good story to tell on some of the things that we've been doing together. And I would hate, you know, miscommunication between everybody. Not on our end, by the way, but between them and us. To affect some of the good things that are being done and need to be done as we move forward. So I'm hoping the committee can help enlighten us on some of that, where some of that miscommunication happened, not only between the Board of Education and us, but between the Board of Education and the administration, because I believe there's definitely some miscommunication there.
Thank you, Commissioners. And I, one more thing to add. I did see a lot of comments online about where's the investigation and audit, and that hasn't been forgotten. We that will be done. The process is still in the state's court. The ball is still in their court, so to speak. And once that process concludes and we have our ability to go forward with that, we will certainly do so. It certainly has not been forgotten, and because we as taxpayers also want the same answers that you would demand answers to, and so we're going to make sure that that gets done one way or another.
Mayor, one more comment.
Sure.
I think it's important that while the forensic investigation is being proposed by the state, and there has to be a review, we should not leap to the conclusion that somebody stole over $7 million and somehow we need to get it back from them and they need to go to jail for that. That's not, you know, from everything that I've looked at, you know, that would be a leap that's beyond what would be reasonable.
Absolutely. An investigation is a fact-finding endeavor to figure out what happened, how it happened, and how to prevent it in the future. Yeah. And to provide us with those answers. And so I'm sure we are all looking forward to those answers.
Just to dovetail a little bit, there's been nothing that's been shown that anything is missing or stolen. It was spent.
Correct.
It was spent, and it shouldn't have been spent, and you shouldn't have been budgeted the way it was budgeted. That's correct. Bottom line.
Well, the only thing I would like to add, it really is appalling that people are in place in this town controlling these Board of Ed budget for all the money they are, and they're misbudgeting money. And where are the checks and balances? And who's there to verify it? Because, like we're all saying, we can't go backwards. And I appreciate everybody's comments, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but we are all taxpayers here too. And you know, a lot of us are products of Nutley High School and the school system here. And I know I am. And there's some pride that comes with that. And, you know, to watch these schools be in the situation that they're in right now is very disheartening. And we can do better, and it's time to get off our pity pot, so to speak, and move this forward and correct the problem, in my opinion.
Thank you. At this time, I think we'll roll into ordinance introductions. And Commissioner Petracca, looks like you'll be leading us off.
Thank you, Stu. Okay. Tonight I have ordinance number 3585, an ordinance to amend the ordinance codified in the Code of the Township of Nutley, Chapter 22A, entitled Vehicles and Traffic, particularly Article 7, Special Zones and Areas, Section 29A, entitled Handicap Parking, to add to the location set forth. This is for 75 Raymond Avenue. I move that this ordinance be passed to a second reading and advertised in the Nutley Sun together with the notice required by law, and that the further consideration of the said ordinance for final passage by the Board of Commissioners to be held on the second reading of, is that June 3rd? June 3rd, I move it.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracca?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
Okay, this is 3581, ordinance amend Chapter 585 of the Code. Oh, I'm sorry, I got the wrong one. Let's see, here we go. Sorry about that, guys. I won't want to take your ordinance. This is ordinance number 3586, an ordinance to amend an ordinance codified in the Code of the Township of Nutley, Chapter 22A, entitled Vehicles and Traffic, particularly Article 7, Special Zones and Areas, Section 29A, entitled Handicap Parking, to add to the location set forth thereon. This is for 54 and Twistle Avenue. I move that this ordinance be passed to the second reading and advertising Nutley Sun together with the notice required by law, and that the further consideration of said ordinance for the final passage by the Board of Commissioners to be held on its second reading. I'm assuming it's June 3rd?
Yes.
Thank you. I move it.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracca?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Commissioner. We have a number of ordinances on for public hearing this evening, and I'll start with you, Commissioner Scarpelli.
This is ordinance number 3581, an ordinance to amend chapter 585 of the Code of the Township of Nutley, entitled Sewer, more specifically amending Article 7. Move to open the public hearing.
At this time, we'll have a public hearing on ordinance number 3581. Anyone wishing to be heard on ordinance number 3581, please approach the microphone and state your name for the record. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Christina Molinari. Some of you know who I am. My husband is Nunzio's Landscaping. Stephanie's Barbecue used to be Nunzio's Diner. I think these questions are for you, Commissioner Scarpelli. I was reading the proposed ordinance 3581 and the fees for the installation if the properties are designated that they need to be done. Now, it's $7,500 installation fee and connection fee of $1,000, right, for each property, correct?
That's a, if you need a new sewer line.
Correct. Let's assume that I do. I'm talking about myself. And I own multiple properties in town, three. So does this payment needs to be paid all at once? Can we do installments, or how is this going to work?
Well, I'll go back to, I mean, the amount of times that a new sewer line is required are few and far between. You'd have to have a collapsed line. Or a new construction with a new sewer line, and the sewer line from the street to your house is the homeowner's responsibility. So, I mean, you know, in certain situations, we could look at, you know, some sort of payment plan, but those will be on an individual basis and a hardship basis.
Okay. And also, if the installation needs to be done, is there timelines? When it's going to be done, or what's the time frame of the
completion? If you need a new sewer line, you're going to want it done right away because you're not going to be able to use anything in your house. You're not going to be able to use the sinks. You're not going to use the toilets. You're not going to be able to wash clothes. So the timeline will, you know, really is on the homeowner. I mean, unless they want to move out of their house and not replace the line.
Mm-hmm. And also, if I may, I would like to make a comment on the Board of Education. How I found out about the sports being cut and maybe the special ed program, it was on the internet. It was all over the internet. And then it also said that May 19th, the Board of Education is having an open meeting to, I guess, discuss it. So I know Commissioner Tucci and I have known each other for a long time. Our kids are similar ages, and our children have been in the sports program in Nutley, and they have loved it, and we have loved it. And I know we have worked in the stands and brought snacks for the kids and so forth. So any of this stuff goes away for all our children, it will be very sad. Also, I appreciate the rest of the commissioners making those special statements. I have grandchildren. My kids are all grown now, but I have grandchildren in Nutley, and my grandson is very good in baseball. He's on three different teams in baseball. He's on the Little League. He's on the traveling team and another team, the all-star team, 11-year-old, and he will be heartbroken because he loves the sport. So what are we going to do with these children after school if we do away with the programs? They're going to get involved in serious issues, right? There's no extracurricular activities for them to do. What do parents do? Do they go to private schools and enroll their kids, or in sports, or what do we do? Also, the special ed program, my granddaughter was one of the, not severe, but it helped my granddaughter big. I've had two tenants over the years in my house, special ed, that have really tremendously enriched from the program. So it will be a very, very sad day when we can't help our special ed, our children in this town. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Your sentiments are our sentiments, and you didn't find out much differently than how we found out, unfortunately.
I have the article that I printed it. I didn't bring it. And my son, his kids are in the school system. He said he didn't even get like a notice from the Board of Education about the meeting or that that was even up for anything. Like, I think parents should be kind of brought up to date what's going on with their children and when with the schools, because this is where they learn, this is where they grow, this is where they advance. So my son said, Ma, I didn't even get a letter from the Board of Ed or the school saying that this might be happening, or did they decide? What is, we don't know.
Yeah, I think we'll find out on the 19th that,
yeah.
And I put a bet on that.
Yeah.
99% of the JV sports are back on the 19th.
I'm going to make sure I show up at that meeting, because I've been in this town 45 years. My three children really were involved in the sports, every type of sport, and they loved every minute of it. And I feel like, what are we going to do with our children, our grandchildren after school, and the sport they enjoy? If you take away all that from the children, they're going to end up in trouble, right? They're going to end up doing something illegal, something they're not supposed to do if they're not busy and they're participating in extracurricular activities. That's my personal feeling. I know I had three kids through the school system, and we loved every game and every involvement over the years. And Commissioner Tucci was there with me, so with his kids. He was also a coach, my son's team. So it was great. We all enjoyed the games, and we all participated, even in the snack bars.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to be heard on ordinance number 3581? Seeing none.
Close the public hearing.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Aye.
Move the ordinance. Second.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Aye. The next one we have on for this evening is ordinance number 3582. Commissioner Petracco.
Yes, I have ordinance number 3582, an ordinance to amend ordinance codified in the code of the Township of Nutley, Chapter 228, entitled Vehicles and Traffic, particular Article 7, Special Zones and Areas, Section 29A, entitled Handicap Parking, to add to the location.
At this time, we'll open up the public hearing on ordinance number 3582. Anyone wishing to be heard on ordinance number 3582, please approach the microphone and state your name for the record. Seeing none, move to close.
Second.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Aye.
Move the ordinance.
Second.
Commissioner Evans.
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci.
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli.
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco.
Aye.
Mayor Kelly.
Aye. And at this time, I'll turn it over to Commissioner Evans, who has a series of ordinances.
Thank you, Mayor. I have ordinance number 3583, which establishes a cap bank for the municipal budget. It's pursuant to statute that allows us to increase our budget to from 2.5% on appropriations to 3.5%. We establish the bank every year. It lasts for 2 years. And then it disappears, and then we continue to regenerate it. Historically, we don't use it. We did have a need to use it coming out of COVID, but that's the first time in 20-something years that we've had to dip into it. But otherwise, it is a recurring item. Again, it's by statute, and it's allowable to establish a cap bank. Open public hearing.
Anyone wishing to be heard on ordinance number 3583, please approach the microphone and state your name for the record. Seeing none.
Move to close.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
Move the ordinance.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
My next ordinance is 3584. This amends the liquor licensing for retail distribution and retail consumption. The retail consumption license will be $1,900 a year. The retail distribution will be $1,500 a year. Our club licensing stays at $150. These are adjustments that we haven't adjusted these rates since 2010. We stay consistently below the other towns, which for retail consumption are already at $2,500 a year. So,
at this time, we'll open the public hearing on ordinance number 3584. Anyone wishing to be heard on ordinance number 3584, please approach the microphone and state your name for the record.
Move to close.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
Move the ordinance.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
My next series of things relates to the introduction of the public hearing for the municipal budget that was introduced on April 1st, 2025. Before I start, I need to read a resolution that authorizes the budget to be read by title only by statute, whereas NJSA 48:4-8, as amended by L215-2015-C95-14-2015, provides that the budget be read by title only at the time of the public hearing if the resolution is passed by no less than the majority of the full governing body, providing that at least 1 week before the date of the public hearing, a complete copy of the budget has been made available for public inspection and has been available to each person upon request. Whereas these two conditions have been met, the budget has been online as of April 2nd. It's been available at the library as well as at the municipal clerk station, just for the record. Now, therefore, be resolved that after the closing of the public hearing, the governing body may adopt the budget by title without amendments or may approve amendments as provided by NJSA 48:4-9 before adoption. We will only be hosting a public hearing tonight because there are a couple of items pending with the state that will delay our adoption. So move.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
We have a couple things to do. First, I've prepared several slides that take the entire budget document and reduces it to a few slides. So hopefully for greater transparency and for better understanding, the state budget document is complicated. It's not easy to read, and it's hard to get a sense of what it's all about. So the idea of the slides was hopefully to advance a level of transparency around our budget. With the indulgence of the board, I'd like to walk through these slides first. Ray Serinelli from Nizavachi and Company is here. We'll share a few comments, and then right after that, we can open it up for public comment. The slides that I'm going to read tonight will be available on the website tomorrow. Unfortunately, our TV screens are a little bit on the smaller side, so these slides are a bit busy. We did prepare extra copies, so if anybody is interested in having one, they're available in the audience to follow along. That might make it easier. Let's move along here. There we go. already did the first page. So, now, let's move off to the next page. And I'm going to speak into the mic. Sassy, if I'm not speaking loud enough, you know, for the record, let me know. This slide, the single slide, summarizes the entire budget for the municipality, all five municipal departments, as well as the public library. And what it basically says is that in order for us to meet the requirements of the health, welfare, and safety of the community across all of the departments providing each of the services that we provide, we need to raise $64,799,792 for 2025, which is a $2,224,000 increase over 24. We do our best to search out revenues of various kinds. So it comes in the form of we invest in our money on hand in interest-bearing accounts. We receive some state aid. We do have pilot agreements with certain properties, and we receive pilot revenues. Since incorporating EMS into the municipal services and public safety, we're able to bill for Medicare, Medicaid services associated with that, as well as the construction office for various fees, application fees, and so on that go on in that office. And there's and same thing with cable franchise fees, parking meter fees, and various other places where we identify revenue. And we do every year look to collect our delinquent taxes. For some reason, there's a similar group of people that like to pay late, so the number stays pretty stable year over year. But when you add it all up, we're able to raise, excluding grants, $18,771,571 in other sources other than property taxes. The balance has to be raised by the property tax. And that means that we have to raise, in order to operate the municipal government only, doesn't include the school or the county, we need to, through the tax payments and property taxes, raise $44,176,408. Statutorily, the library is able to generate revenue by statute, and under the formula for that, and there is a formula for it, it goes into the tax bill, so you'll see it on your tax bill as library. That it raises another $1,851,813, which goes directly to supporting the Nutley Library. So in total for this year, we will need to raise for our through taxes $46,028,221, which is $1,489,937 increase over 24. And what does that mean? What it means is that right now, on introduction, the municipal tax levy will, for the average taxpayer, whose house is assessed at around $491,000, their municipal tax increase will be $123 for the year. The school board adds to that for an additional $18. So the total library municipal increase is $141 for increase over 24 levels. What's interesting about this is, I want to refer to state aid. Included in our aid last year was $547,000, which was categorized as municipal relief aid. The introduction of the state budget eliminated that category of aid in February. That change, in terms of its effect on the municipal tax increase, is the equivalent to about $55. So if that we didn't lose that aid, our municipal increase with the library would have been under $100. It would have been at $87. Because of that impact, I have petitioned the state through the Division of Local Governmental Services, as well as our legislative representatives from the 34th District, to somehow do something to help us mitigate that loss. While I won't be able to get all of it, I'm hopeful that we'll get some of that, which will contribute to, hopefully, when we go to adopt, we'll reduce the amount of the increase that we're looking at. My goal is, and I believe very strongly, that we will get the municipal increase under $100 to around 2.5%. I'm hopeful that if we get the state aid recovery, we'll be under 2%. So that's what we're working towards. So much work needs to be done, but that's a snapshot. So it takes that entire booklet and reduces it to that amount. So moving to the next slide, in government accounting, which is it's a separate rule book and an animal unto itself, revenue changes in revenue are parallel to changes in appropriations, and they only meet at the bottom when it comes time to determine the levy. So what I did is this next slide says, well, what happened? What changed in our revenues for 25 that resulted in the fact that we had a net increase of roughly $734,000? And so what you can see from this slide is laid out is that we released a capital improvement reserve for our initial payment for the new school at 777 Bloomfield Avenue. We reversed a reserve that we had in the books last year and used for $513,000, covering the transition to the new utility. If you look at those two items, those are one-time extraordinary in nature. So if you look at the others, the interest income and net other expenses, overall, our revenue sources stay flat, pretty much flat. And there's not much we can do to control that other than increasing our fees, fines, you know, permit fees, things like that, and so on, which are limited resources for us. The big sources of our revenue really come from state aid and property taxes. So what I wanted to point out was important is that year over year revenues stay fairly stable. It's every now and then there's an event, but they stay very stable. The event this year, though, that was detrimental to us was the loss of municipal relief aid. So if we didn't lose that, our revenue increase would have been a little bit higher. And as I noted on this slide, we'll know in the June timeframe whether or not we'll get some relief against that loss. The difficulty with it overall is that the state budget that has been submitted has a bunch of issues associated with it. The governor has been making adjustments to that, so there's not a lot of money floating around at the state level to say, sure, you know, here's more money. It's an empty piggy bank, you know, these days. Moving on, the other side of this equation is, oh, I got it right, is what happens to our spending. So while revenues are kind of stable, and based upon the activity in the town, and they are volatile to a degree, but they're fairly stable. What happens on the other side is the appropriations, which is the spending, the money, what we have to spend money on, right, and what are we required to spend money on. So one component is that we have salary increases that we have to abide by. Most of the salaries in the township are covered by union contracts and labor negotiations, which have very specific terms, and our budgets year over year have to meet that. And you see that it's larger, smaller, based upon the department, and it's pretty clear to see that, you know, certain areas cost more than others from that standpoint. When you look at the expense side, what we spend money on, we had a significant increase in our group medical insurance. We've had an increase in our garbage and recycling of $222,000. Our medical insurance went up $1,327,000. Gasoline costs have gone up $90,000. The workman's compensation insurance up $67. We had to renew licenses in Treasury in order to operate our computer systems, which was $44,000. We're coming up on a large anniversary for the 4th of July, so the civic celebration is up a bit. And we had some offsets, which relates to pension costs went down, surprisingly. And so you see in here, and also in here is the payment from the reserve, which didn't go in, didn't affect taxes, but it shows the payment that we made to the school. In addition, you'll see an adjustment, which is we completed the transfer of costs to the combined water sewer utility, and the $2.2 million that's at the bottom is actually the other half of the sewer bill. We get a bill each year. This year, that bill is $4.7 million. Part of it's already in the utility. This is the other piece that had to be transferred, which I'll get to in a second. So what you'll see is I laid out that on one page all of the expense changes that are material and understanding what happened to our budget year over year. The next slide, this just demonstrates the sewer water utility, right? The water component of that and the sewer component of that. In order to operate that, the utility, it will cost $11.3 million to operate that, with paying for our supply of water, paying for the treatment of our sewer and the manpower associated with maintaining the water and sewer systems. We will be billing for that based upon consumption. It's no longer in your property tax bill. So depending upon how you use it, that's how we will be paid. And we're anticipating that based upon the billing that's in the ordinance that we currently have, we'll raise $11.5 million. So we might have a little bit of a reserve, hopefully, at the end of the year. This prior year, we didn't. We didn't have any reserves. So you can see, processing our sewer costs $4.7 million, supplying our water from North Jersey, Passaic Valley, and Newark, which are our three sources of water, cost basically $2.4 million. There's very little debt in the utility, $286,000. And the cost of people is another, you know, $4 million in providing all the benefits. So it gives you a sense that, you know, that's where we are with the utility. There are some notes that are attached to it as commentary, but I've covered most of that. The most significant one here is the Municipal Ordinance number 3581, which revised the nature of billing and the rates associated with the billing. That is adopted for 2025. That ordinance is available on our website for anybody who wants to look at the rates. So at this point, we've walked in and said, hey, we need to spend this money, we need to raise this money, we need to collect taxes, we get so much from revenue. But more importantly, the question I'm asked all the time is, what do you do with it? Where does that money go? Right? Why are you spending that money? Why is it necessary? And on this slide, it points out where the money goes. So there isn't any question about how we spend this money by area. It's not by commission department, so it's not by any one commissioner, but commissioners have responsibility for all of this, and each area has all of the out-of-pocket expenses as well as all of the employee-related costs, so salary, pension, healthcare, taxes, everything associated with that, to get to a fully loaded number. So when you think about our job as commissioners, which is health, welfare, and safety of the community, one of the first things you see is that we are investing in the safety of the community in a very significant way. A full 50% of our appropriation, or $31.5 million, is responsible for providing police, fire, EMS, and court-related services for our town. When you go down the list, you know, you also see that, you know, the total cost of removing garbage and our recycling is another $3 million. The health organization, the civic area, the veteran services of $1.8 million. The planning board, the zoning board, and economic redevelopment costs is another $958,000. what it takes to maintain our buildings, our grounds, all the recreation services, our oil, our gas, our electric, right, is another $4.5 million. Making sure the roadways work, and you know, people are always surprised by this, but we have to pay for our street lighting. So we have to pay PNC and J for lighting the streets. So, and that's another $5.7 million. When you look at all of the, those are areas of direct service that goes into the streets, safety, lighting, buildings, and services. Behind that are administrative areas, and it's been my practice over the last 22 years is to keep that well under 10% and actually keep it under 7% of the budget. So all of these services related to tax assessor, construction office, treasury, purchasing, municipal clerk, all of those areas, legal services, IT services that we have as a town, which is all infrastructure related, is another $4.1 million, but it's 6.6% of the budget. It's not a driver of the budget. And we've done very well with managing our debt because the municipality will get into trouble if we don't watch our spending on capital items. So our right now we're spending $2.4 million or 3.8% of the budget. It relates to our debt service. Our plan, our capital plan that we follow, basically allows us to provide for an unlimited amount of capital every year. Every 5 years, we have debt rolling off of our books and we replace it. So we maintain our debt level at a very constant level that's less than $15 million. We have the ability, if we wanted to raise that to over $150 million. But we keep it at 10% of that. So we manage that very effectively. And because of that, we have a bond rating of AA1, which is a half step below AAA, which is the highest rating. So, and then for library services, the total cost of the library is roughly $2.1 million, which is used heavily by the community. So when you look at it, when you look and say we're spending $64.8 million, this is what we're spending it on. So it's helpful for people to understand. You won't get this out of the budget doc, and I'm pretty confident that this level of summary, it's unique to Nutley on how we provide this information for a level of transparency that many towns don't do. It's a lot of work to do this, but I think it's valuable for what we need to do. I have one more slide, and if any commissioners then want to comment, please do. The last slide that I included here it's a hard one, but I constantly hear them saying, taxes are so high, right, in Nutley, it's out of control. And so what I did was I worked with my tax assessor, and we put together a comparison of what the assessed values are of property in Nutley compared to every municipality in Essex County. We also looked at it and said, what's the average tax bill? Now, the tax bill here is the entire tax bill. It's municipal, school, county, library, open space. It's all in here. So when you look at it, and we then said, okay, that's that. I put in population, number of taxing areas that we do, you know, related, including median income, because median income is really important to understanding. And what we talk about all the time is, you know, the ability, what's the affordability level? What can people pay? And we're very much aware of that. So we follow that. And we also included in here the number of police officers per 1,000, since it's a major component of our budget compared to every town in Essex County. And what you find is, then this is all 24 data. I will update it for 25 when that information becomes available, but it's not available yet. But probably, hopefully in June, I'll be able to update this for the coming year. But when you do look at this, in 24, the average tax bill in Nutley was $12,945. When you look at that, there's nine towns in Nutley that we're comparable to. There's only nine towns in Essex County that have a paid fire department and a local school system. There's other towns, such as Maplewood and South Orange, have a paid fire department but a regional school system. You have Fairfield, Roseland, West Caldwell, Caldwell, North Caldwell, Essex Fells that have a volunteer fire department as well as a regional school system. And then at Cedar Grove, Verona, Livingston, Glen Ridge has a volunteer fire department but a local school system. So they're all different than us, which influences what the taxing base is. But what I found intriguing about this, in towns like, say, if you look at Fairfield, Fairfield is $11,500 a year with a volunteer fire department and a regional school system. And they're $1,400 less than we are, with a local fire department and a local school system. So when you look at it, it says, okay, by comparison in Essex County, the only thing I would draw from it, it says, we're not doing too bad. Can we always do better? Absolutely. Right? What's also important is, and we zero in on this, the median income in Nutley is about $112,000, right? Median income, right? The absolute highest, the absolute lowest, you take the middle, that's the median, right? It takes care of the distortion of the high taxpayers, low taxpayers. It tells you just what the middle is. In 24, taxes required for the average household took 11.5% of that $112,000, right? Personally, I think that's a hell of a lot of money, right, to take, because that's median income. It means you've got taxes coming out of that, you've got household costs coming out of that. But by comparison, costs are high. There's a lot associated with providing and keeping the town safe and providing the services, and we do our best to manage our way through that. And the one way we do that is we stay within the cap limits that are allowed by the state. So I share that as information that I hope will advance conversation about how Nutley does compared to other towns, and when you look at it, how we are relevant to other towns. So I share that broadly for that purpose. So overall, this is the understanding of our budget for 2025. Commissioners, if you'd like to comment in any way, be my guest.
Commissioner Tucci?
Yeah, just a couple of comments. Number one, I want to thank Commissioner Evans for putting this presentation together for us. The state, some years back, came out with an edict that they were going to require every municipality to come up with a plain language budget. They never had a plain language budget. This is a plain language budget. This tells you where every dollar goes. And some of the other smaller items, but important items, that the commissioner didn't mention is we're also involved in a joint insurance fund. It's where we aggregate with 9 other entities, some municipalities, some school districts, to control our insurance costs, property, casualty, auto, and the like. We're also involved with the Standard Energy Meeting. That's also a consortium of towns that came together to get lower electrical costs, all right? So we strike a rate, we go out to bid, and then public service and other providers bid against that. So all of that goes into this. So it's not only the obvious things that people see in this budget and what the commissioner has very, very well outlined for us, but there are also some other initiatives that we're all involved in that help to keep this town affordable. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Commissioner Scarpelli.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Evans, always a great job. That last slide, I think, is very interesting. I think we should put that up somewhere on the website so everybody can see where we stand in that regard. Just from a public works, and I'm sure everybody feels this way, it's getting harder and harder for us to maintain the services that we provide, and I think, you know, we strive to maintain the best services around, but it's getting harder and harder because of some of our commitments on the labor side, but we continue to do a good job in holding down those costs where we can, and I think, you know, as a whole, this Board of Commissioners always worries about the taxpayer, and if we can continue to worry about the taxpayer, worry how what we do affects them, and at the same time make sure they're getting the services that they're paying for, and I think we do a pretty good job at that.
Commissioner Petracco.
Thank you. Tom, I have to say, I think the only way to say it tonight is you're a rock star in my eyes. You were, to simplify this, and No, I was really hoping they were going to dim the lights and put the black lights on for you tonight, but you're just tremendous to me. You've always been an asset to the town, definitely to myself. Tremendous job. It's very simple to read. I don't want to take the credit, Tom, that you pointed out to me, but you did show me earlier a very interesting fact about police departments and how many cops there are per thousand. It's not, we were at 2.8 cops per thousand people here, which I do think we need more. And I will take a look at Fairfield, somewhat of a town like Nutley. We're at almost six. So, you know, first of all, I want to thank all of you because I am a driver of our budget here. And I always have the support of this full board. I also want to thank our police officers, our firefighters, our EMTs. When people say to me, Ali, you know, your budget's gone up again this year, and why? And I say, when you call on Christmas Eve at 2 o'clock in the morning for a cop or a fireman or EMT, they come, right? When you call Easter morning, when you call on the weekends during the summer, public safety is out there 24/7. There is no days off. There are no breaks in services here in Nutley. Me being in this seat a long time, I really take to heart your safety of all our residents, and I will never penny pinch our budget, you know, to compromise our safety in this town. I think it's very important. And I think on the police side especially, you know, our neighboring towns, and, you know, they do have many more cops than we do per 1,000 people. You know, for us to keep Nutley safe and keep Nutley what it is, our little green ball, you know, has been amazing. And you know, I can't take the credit alone. It's really been a board of commissioners' effort, you know, to keep Nutley safe and keep us what we are, the center of the universe, as we're called. So thank you, Tom, for the presentation. And I'd like to thank all my fellow commissioners for always the support.
Thank you, Commissioner. And I would just like to state the obvious that we are all taxpayers, and we don't want to pay any more taxes than we have to. And this budget reflects a very good job, probably the best job that we can do, and responsibly provide the services that we continue to provide. And I believe that the services that we do provide are top-notch and first-rate, and they will continue to be in the future, and we're not going to look to try and shortchange our services that we provide to the township, and we're going to continue to provide the A-plus services that we do provide. Commissioner Evans, do you want to open the public?
No, I'd like to offer Ray Serinelli from Ms. Zavazzi, if he'd wish to make some comments before we open it up.
Ray Serinelli, Township Auditor. So I just wanted to spend a few minutes not only discussing the budget, but just your financial position at the end of the year, because that plays into what the budget process might look like. So the township has had an increasing fund balance over the last couple of years. At the end of 22, it was 7.2 million. At the end of 23, 7.8. And at the end of 24, it was 8.2 million. The fund balance has increased slightly. It's part of a fund balance policy that Commissioner Evans put into place about 7 or 8 years ago. And if you look at fund balance and the budget plan that's been put together over the last 10 or 20 years, it really has been a steady line of growth in fund balance. The budget is prepared on a balanced level, meaning revenues are over anticipated, expenses are under anticipated. You try and get in the middle there somewhere, because some things are going to go right and some things are going to go wrong during the course of the year, and the budget is a budget plan. So if you take that median level through the process, I think it leaves you in a good position. It's left you in a better position the last couple of years, primarily because of interest rates. Commissioner Evans, well, he always puts everything out there that I was going to say, but one of the things we wanted to talk about briefly was, you know, part of this planning that's been taking place year after year has impacted the cost of municipal government in that your bond rating has increased and improved twice in the past 15 years. In 2007, Nutley got upgraded to AA2, and in 2023, it got upgraded to AA1. So you're just a notch away from AAA. There were a couple of factors that are not within your control that prevented you from getting to AAA, but the rating agencies did say that your strength is your financial statements and your financial position, and that all has to do with what you're talking about tonight, your budget plan. Doing this budget plan is not an easy process for any of the commissioners. I know Commissioner Evans leads the process, but you've had the challenges that many other governments have had, in particularly the things that the municipality has faced in the last, I'll say, 5 years, was at a very high inflation rate while you still were limited to 2 and 2.5% caps. You had extraordinary increases in health insurance. You've had extraordinary increases in pension costs, not this past year, but in previous years. Garbage contract increases, not particularly all in this year. And also you had this $547,000 cut in state aid. So you've gone through a budget process every year and come up with reasonable answers, reasonable increases, and you've stayed within both cap. You have a levy cap and you have an appropriation cap, and every year you've been in compliance either at or under both of those caps. Some years you've had cap bank. Nutley, from my outside perspective, you know, to see that kind of presentation that was up there is incredibly transparent. When you look at a municipal budget document, it's very difficult to follow and difficult to understand, but that presentation that you just got about the budget was one of the best I've seen. Part of what helps you stay balanced in your tax increases is that you have a formal capital plan and a formal debt service plan that you stayed within year after year. Commissioner Evans described it briefly before. You're replacing new debt with old debt instead of having capital program and debt that continues to increase year after year. You're meeting your capital needs, but it's not costing you more in debt service. As old projects are paid off, the new projects are paid, come into play. So I think, you know, it's fair to say the hard work has been done. You've again come up with a budget that's cap compliant. It passes along a reasonable increase. I think when the budget is done, it'll be less than what that presentation indicated tonight. There's a couple more items of revenue that are being considered that would help that. So the rest of the process tonight is to hold the public hearing as advertised. I believe you're going to table your budget, wait until you see if those additional revenues come in. If they do, hopefully within the time frame that you have left to adopt the budget, you'll get to that process in the next month or two, around June 30th, to finalize your budget. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Thank you. At this time, we'll open up the public hearing on the 2025 municipal budget. Anyone wishing to be heard on the 2025 municipal budget, please approach the microphone and state your name for the record.
Good Hello, I'm Amy Salento, and I live at 70 Newman Avenue here in Nutley. Thank you so much for the overview, Commissioner Evans. Clearly, you've seen some of the comments and questions that people have, including myself. And, yeah, I came last year. I think the budget meeting had already happened, but I was here on 5/21 of 2024. And, yes, I requested a zero-based budget, which I've done in past years, 2017 and 2018. And I'm not questioning everything in the budget, and I appreciate the summary. There are a few things that stand out, but I'd like to put that on hold a tiny little bit because I'm not really clear how One Nutley fits in. And also, when it was announced about the purchase of the 777 Bloomfield Avenue building, the indication was that money would be coming from Pilot. And I see that Pilot is year over year flat, maybe down by like 3%. And yet there's a transfer of reserve of 1774. So I'm not, I probably missed that. I mean, I'm not an accountant, and I just am not really clear on what that is. So I don't know if that could be answered since it's related to the budget.
Sure. Do you want me to answer that right now?
Well, I'm just saying, yeah, it could be, I don't know. It's related to the budget.
No, happy to. So yes, the way I labeled it was to basically track it through the reports on the revenue side. You'll see capital improvement reserve.
Yes.
That is Pilot money that is being released, primarily released for that purpose, and you'll see it in the appropriation listed the same way as the $1,777,000, and in the summary of our appropriations, it's listed the same way, just for consistency throughout the presentation. We released the reserve amount. We did take out a note of $8 million for the completion of the school, which is on target to be ready for September 1, so which is great news. The debt service associated with that begins in 2026, and that the Pilot payment for those future years will cover that. So it's not in you don't see it in this budget.
Okay, so thank you for that. I do remember the reference to that there would be a bond. So is Pilot in general, is that in the fund balance? Like when you said we've released some reserve.
Yeah, it accumulates in my fund balance, but rather than just saying fund balance, I was trying to be more declarative about what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point is, yes, we as a municipality collect Pilot revenues. They're all municipal revenues, which we can then allocate for use for capital-related items if we choose to for like what we've done, where there's public use involved. It's like a building which will now house children. We're able to do that. Because we can use the school, we were able to do repairs to Lincoln School, Radcliffe School, and the front of Nutley High School, and we're able by law to do those types of things. We're not in a position that says, oh, here's money to cover your operating expenses. That's separate.
And I'm not implying that. I'm just
to be clear.
Yeah.
I understand your question.
I'm just not clear then how much, like, how do we budget Pilot? I mean, I guess we don't know. It depends on what's happening in terms of construction, et cetera. But is there a separate Pilot fund, or is that Pilot fund the 1.9 something that's in the budget?
Yeah,
like an ongoing fund.
To your point, is the 1.744 that you were
the transfer.
Yeah, the transfer. That was substantially the reserve that I was able to accumulate. We use Pilot revenues to offset, as you can see, in the budget. We're maximizing the use of the Pilot revenues right now. Those Pilot revenues, I expect, will go up because of the completion now and the progress that's being made on Diamond Springs, where the age-related housing is done, as well as on the Ciccolini rebuild on Franklin Avenue. That will introduce additional revenues in the coming years.
Okay, thank you for that. So in terms of the Ciccolini building, the property's already been sold to the developer?
No, it's under the agreement. We're in the process of following through on the agreement. Right now, it's in the environmental review period, which will be completed in a week or so. And then there is a process that says, okay, you've got to go through all of your plans have to be reviewed in the code office, and then you've got to go before the planning board for for preliminary and final site plan approval. After that, then when he goes to demolish the property, he will have to take title, and at that time, we will be paid.
Okay, so is the potential revenue in this budget?
No.
For the sale?
No.
Okay, so that will be a one-time item?
Correct.
And it will be, where will that money go then? When it comes in, what will it be applied against?
Yeah, the intention is that we don't use that for operating. There's more improvement that has to be done. There's a shortage of parking in the business district, for example. So we would have to evaluate how it would be used for basically long-term improvements to the business district.
Okay, thank you. I mean, that's helpful to know. I did see that there's a significant, I guess, environmental cleanup related to that property. I'm just curious, and I don't have to talk about this now. I saw some proposal of the developer and some significant investment of sort of environmental cleanup. Is that not really happening?
The only environmental thing that we were aware of was that when we purchased the property, we had to remove the oil tank.
Oh, okay. So I don't know.
Right to investigate the entire property, okay. And that's what he does in order to make a determination.
Okay. Great. Thank you for that. In terms of the fund balance, again, I understand this budget isn't a balance sheet, but where does the fund balance that we have in the community, where is that?
You'll see, in the actual full budget, you will see a line item that's in there for fund balance.
Ray, well, because I'm seeing $5 million. Sorry, that's...
Yeah, it's $5 million.
Oh, that's not the number that we were just given. We were given a number of over $7
million. We apply it, so... I use it. Two things happen. It sits in cash, right, in one part.
As a fund balance would.
Right, yeah. And you expect it to sit in cash. When we generate it, I apply $5 million to reduce taxes each year. It just rolls and rolls and rolls. It was started a number of years ago. So to avoid a double tax hit for changing of the fund balance, it has to stay at $5 million. So regenerating that is very important. The other piece that's used is cash flow. Because we only get paid four times a year, but our expenses are every month of the year.
Right.
So having the available cash helps us and avoids having us to go into tax anticipation notes to cover interim expenses.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. In the approximate $4.6 million for uncollected taxes, I think I just heard that that's actually, one of you said, that's actually mandated,
yes.
That percentage.
Yes.
So we don't actually have that much typically in uncollected.
Oh, no.
Okay, because it looks like in the budget,
sure.
When you look at the budget.
We have to have a line item, yes.
Yeah.
It sits there as a reserve against that. Our collection history is actually good.
It's over 90%.
As a municipality, though, we are responsible for paying the county.
Yes.
And the school, 100%.
Yes.
All the risk of collection is with us. And so it's statutorily required to maintain a reserve. So it's pretty stable. It changed $90,000, but it's stable every year over year.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for the explanation. Again, it's hard to interpret in the actual budget.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. I have a question about the sewer and water. I can see everything that you've outlined here, and thank you for that. When the original change was implemented last year, there was a statement made that the adjustments would be made in taxes, for real estate taxes. I don't see that included in the budget. And
it didn't happen.
Based on that, well, clearly. So to the point earlier in this meeting where there was a discussion about how things happening in the school district shouldn't just come as a surprise to everybody, that's a surprise to homeowners, to real estate taxpayers. How come that hasn't been discussed or shared or spoken about?
So,
I mean, it's like didn't happen. It's like, so just so you know, that means our expenses as a homeowner are going up way more than our taxes are going up.
So when you look, when you look at, because it's, you have to look at all sources of what you have to pay bills for. Absolutely.
Completely.
I fully understand. So in the budget, you'll see that on the one slide, our expenses went up $3.7 million, but we also transferred out $2.2 million into the utility, which had a net increase in appropriation of a million, you know, 5 or so, right?
Yep.
So, or 2.2 million, whatever that number is when you look at it, whatever that, I don't remember off the top of my head.
I know, but it's 3 minus 2, generally, exactly, yeah, I saw that.
So that's where you see it coming out. If we didn't transfer that 2.2 million out, we would be at 3.7 million, so our increase in appropriations wouldn't be 2.2 million overall, it would be actually $2.2 million higher, all right? So the up to 4 and change. Right?
I mean, congratulations, except again, this is a shock.
Right.
I'm sorry to say, but I'm completely in shock. I thought, great, I'm going to get a nice letter that talks about my 25 to 26 taxes, and it's going to tell me what the net amount reduction is.
So what we,
that's not happening.
If you look at it from an accounting standpoint, right, your what we were charging in 23 at the end of 23, part of that money was transferred out in 24, and part of the money was out and transferred out in 25. So, in effect, over $5 million came out of the municipal budget, right,
okay,
over the course of those 2 years, and into the utility, went into the utility to cover the sewer charges. We also had increases in cost of sewer treatment that happened inside of that utility. So we transferred out. What happened, unfortunately, was we, if you look at the 2 years, right, we had significant increases in labor costs as well as insurance costs, which I would have loved to have happened was if we were spending a dollar in 23, we would be spending 90 cents in 24 and 80 cents in 25. But with the nature of the cost increases that have been put in front of us, it did not happen. The cost increases offset the cost decrease.
Okay. Thank you for that explanation. I appreciate that. Just in terms of the building purchase, the 777, I was not present at the meeting, but it was reported in the electronic media. We have two different groups that reported on it. And there was a reference to the fact that by having the construction done before the town / school acquires the building, that we avoid the triple bid process. That was very troubling to me. Like, that was a celebration for avoiding a triple bid. I'm really not clear about that. It kind of makes me think that renovations are being done. Yes, I understand labor cost, wage requirements are being met, but sort of like whatever it costs, and then we're going to pay $9.8 million for the building.
Yeah.
It's shocking to me to have that be celebrated.
Yeah, so if when you say it that way, there's nothing to celebrate, right? But the way you're characterizing it is a misrepresentation.
Okay, well, that's how it was reported.
Well, it
was a celebration. We're avoiding. Okay, so if that's not what happened, was there a triple bid, and did we have any involvement? Because again, we're ultimately buying a building from someone where we're basically saying we're going to pay you all this money based on your renovations, which hopefully we'll be happy with.
So
I'm really not clear about that.
When you look at the nature of the renovations, right, and what we're doing, they do have to comply with prevailing wage.
Yes, I see that.
Is the most significant component of the cost of construction, the labor piece of it.
Okay.
What we're able to benefit from is their ability to source the materials, the nails, the sprinkling system, the HVAC systems, and things like that at a competitive price, which historically is lower than what a public bidding process produces. And most importantly, is if we were to do that within the public bidding process under public contract law, which we're not required to do because it's a capital purchase, we can allow them to do that. The renovations to the 777 would not allow children to be in that school September of 25. The earliest that they would be in there would be September of 26.
I understand about the timing.
So, and what we did is we looked at what the cost per square foot would be, and we set a contract price that limits. And so it's a fixed contract price that basically says we are renovating a 20,000 square foot building, right, which has a base price in it of about $2.5 million, with a total renovated value with a completely new electrical system, a completely new HVAC system, completely renovated school system, air circulation benefits, environmental benefits, right, parking and everything else, interior and exterior, we're doing that for $9.8 million. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason why I would celebrate that, and very clearly why I would celebrate that, is it eliminated the need for an $80 million referendum to renovate the middle school.
So, and I appreciate that.
So it's very important, I think, to separate out what someone says that we didn't go through this public
hearing
process.
Okay, but when you say what someone says, I just need to say, when it's said in this room with this setup, that it's not just someone. Please understand that.
If that was someone's quoting me, then they're misquoting.
You are not being quoted.
So,
okay.
So, and I, since I do the financial stuff and the contract stuff,
yeah,
then the quote would have to become for me if I was to rely on its accuracy.
Okay, so that's fantastic. One thing that does concern me about that building is I don't know where people are going to get dropped off and picked up. I mean, that Bloomfield Avenue isn't getting any wider unless we're taking part of the park out.
No,
it's not clear.
We are. The whole corner, right, is...
Well, there's a business on that corner, so that's
not
my business.
Using the parking, it's not theirs.
Okay.
So, no, but you raised a very good point. So what will happen is we created a drop-off area that starts on Kingsland. You come into the parking lot, and you pull up in front of the building off of Bloomfield Avenue, not on Bloomfield Avenue.
Okay.
And you're able to drop your kids off and go.
And so that parking that's there today, who owns that parking?
Today?
Yeah.
The financial group that currently owns the property, they purchased it from Hoffman Road.
Okay, so are we leasing that access to that parking, or are we purchasing it?
We purchased it all for 9.8.
So that's the separate property number. Okay, thank you. It would be so great to have better news about these things, like a picture. I mean, people have no idea what's happening. It's like, how's anybody getting dropped off, picked up? And I just want to say one thing.
It's a bit premature for that, but we will be producing that.
Okay.
And letting that go out.
So just considering that, I just want to say that when On3 came in and, you know, have done very few buildings on the Nutley side, one of the biggest concerns was traffic on that corner. So it seems like, you know, that is a concern. People are concerned about traffic on that corner, especially people are concerned about small children being dropped off, picked up. So I'm glad there's a solution. But just remember, again, there are certain things that On3 were not approved for, and therefore we have limited tax revenue because they're not building in the Nutley side. They're building on the Clifton side because they didn't get what they needed. There were all these pushbacks about, you know, traffic and where's the income? We lost $10 million in ratables, and we're not anywhere close to replacing that.
Well, we lost $10 million in ratable. $1.5 million of that went to the county. We are currently collecting $6.6 million.
Okay.
Right, because we secured $2.6 million in permanent state aid, as you recall, because we had transitional aid.
Right, so that's the permanent, okay.
The current taxes are $4 million. We will be announcing more about progress that's going to be done, which will, when completed, fully recover the $8.5 million that we lost.
Hallelujah. Much. Okay, so in relation to the budget, I have a couple other quick things. Just
Amy, if I could just interrupt you 1 second about the On3 property, too. You have to realize, too, it was easy pickings for Clifton because they had all the vacant land. You know, Nutley didn't have a lot of vacant land to be built on except for that one big site at the cathedral. And I'll speak for myself. I have been very cautious because we don't want to have a misstep. We want to get the best property use that we can. And the pushback, despite what everybody's been reading in the newspapers that On3 was putting out in the beginning, we've been working very diligently and hard to make sure that we repurpose that property the best we can, get the best ratable that we can, and not so much impact on our township with the services and so forth. So it's not that we are not moving forward and we don't want a solution. You know, we know that this is for the next 100 years of our municipality, and we want to get it right. And I think that we're in a good place right now with
Gene Diaz on 3, and, you know, we're looking forward to moving it forward as well. As the mayor said before, we will pay taxes here too, and we live here also.
I understand that, and I, believe me, I appreciate you commenting on it, but I want you to know this was not all hearsay. I attended many of the meetings. I was in this room, many, many meetings, 2017, 2018, many presentations by On3. So this is not just hearsay that I'm referring to. So I just want you to know I was here. I was not serving, but I was here paying attention. So
right, and if you recall that, in 2013, I believe that Roach left, based the professionals that we hired and analysts said that we are 25 years away from solving this problem. So I think that as we all wanted to move faster, I think we're still way ahead of the curve, and I think that the best is yet to come.
Right. I mean, that's really good news. Thank you so much. So I wanted to ask about just in terms of affordable housing, and we've spent a lot of money on attorney's fees related to affordable housing. Are we done with that? Are we done with the attorney's fees? Is there a deal? And I'm asking because I don't see anything in the budget related to that. Not that it has to be a line item, but should we be expecting hundreds of thousands of dollars of attorney's fees over the next few years?
I would hope not.
Okay. So I won't ask any more about that tonight.
Amy, I think you recall, we have an obligation, what they call the gap period obligation for 55
yes.
units. In order for us to attract someone to do that, it has to be 65 units because of tax credits
yep.
that are involved. It's very important about that. We have every expectation that we will move on that. We do have an ongoing requirement to report to the Fair Share Housing folks as well as the Essex court system, and so, you know, periodically we will incur some legal fees, you know,
okay.
to do that until it is completed.
Okay, but I guess I'm asking, and I think maybe you've answered it, the 65 units commitment, you're reporting on it, but we don't anticipate it changing. I know that I've seen articles where towns are pushing back and or the whole settlement's been questioned.
Sure, some towns are pushing back.
Yeah.
They've got... And some of the towns that are pushing back is that they made a commitment to do something, and now they're changing their mind. So they're trying to influence that.
Okay.
But we are currently for the next through 2035.
Mm-hmm.
I don't foresee us having an additional obligation because every 10 years they look at it, and yeah. and so right now we're exempt.
Okay, thank you. So one other thing related to taxes and the schools and One Nutley, you know, when the bike shop and the upholstery, when that building was purchased, I believe, by the district?
Yes? By the municipality.
By the municipality. Okay, so we lost the tax revenue. Yes. Then we spent the money to pave it and put up a parking lot. So great, there's more parking, I guess, for the teachers. That doesn't seem to be parking that applied to the community, but the teachers have to park somewhere. But, you know, I guess I just see these things happening, and it's like, how do these things happen? It's like, oh, we're going to buy that. We're going to buy the Ciccolini building so no one else buys it for parking. And then years and years and years go by, and we have no tax revenue from those properties. And obviously, then we're not going to reclaim tax revenue from the parking lot where the bike shop used to be, right? That's now part of the school parking?
Sure. So it's... The issue of the bike shop, in my opinion, and the commissioners will have their opinion, was not about whether or not we're losing tax dollars, which was about $12,000.
Okay.
Right? The tax point is $500,000, right? So in less than some percentage of a penny.
Okay.
So taxes weren't the driver for that. It was a question of preserving space for the expansion of the school system, because it was going to be sold privately. And if it was going to be sold privately, it was deep enough to put 30 apartment units there.
So okay.
That stopped that. We as a municipality have purchased it. We're allowing them to use it for parking purposes for right now, but it was intended to be part of a referendum to expand the middle
right,
school.
Right, originally.
That,
yeah.
That referendum turns out to be very, very expensive and unaffordable at this point. So they might do something in the future, but right now, we're allowing them to use that. We're not charging them for it.
Okay, well, I think that's great. I mean, the school can't, the district can't afford to pay for parking, so it's a great thing we're not charging them.
And the same thing when you look back at Chicolini, it wasn't about Chicolini to become a parking lot. Initially, the Chicolinis were about to sell that to a New York developer who was going to put 125 units there without a variance.
Yeah.
Fits it. It would have destroyed the business district. So we prevented that. And we paid $3.4 million for that, $3.425 for that, and we're selling it for $4.5 million.
Okay.
Taxpayers didn't lose. The Chicolinis paid $40,000 a year in taxes.
Okay.
So again, taxes were not the driver. Right?
Okay.
Now, with the build and what's going to be there, what we're getting out of that is very important to understand. We're getting our $4.5 million back. We're getting 50 additional parking spots. We're converting 75 parking spots where we'll now go into an interior structured garage. Those spaces cost $35,000 each to build today.
Yeah.
Right. Very expensive. But that will be public parking. So we're increasing our public parking by two-thirds. We're also putting in a 5,000-square-foot park that will go there. And we have to move the hazmat building, which we're getting another $1 million for. When you put all that together, preserving the Chicolini building was worth about $7 million to the municipality, which I'm very confident I think people would actually acknowledge not a bad deal. More importantly is the taxes going forward on that will be over $600,000 a year.
That's going to be great. And that's the hazmat answer, by the way. It was the hazmat building they're buying. When I said about hazmat, I didn't understand that. I thought it was hazmat cleanup.
It's the building. It's the building. Physical structure that needs to be relocated, and we're getting the money that enables us to relocate that at no cost to the taxpayers.
Okay, well, that's super helpful. So there's a lot of things that are going to be, you know, good things coming this way. So in terms of One Nutley, I guess, you know, some of these opportunities are coming up. I do want to say that when I was here last May, the conversation was almost exactly the same. We need to find out what happened. As far as we know, the state is not mandating a forensic audit. If it does, okay, great, but we're also going to pay for that forensic audit. And I'm sure our auditor can tell us that. I mean, that could probably be $1 million. I have no idea.
$75,000. Yes.
So why is that not happening then? Why are we waiting for the state to decide? Why aren't we, the township, saying, we're collecting taxes on behalf of the district.
If the state does it, the state pays for it.
Well, the state pays for it in theory, but they're not paying, you know, Jeanette Mankus's salary. I mean, we're paying it.
Okay. You know, broadly, yes. All the tax dollars that go to the state, we all provide for that. We all pay that.
Okay.
So I appreciate that. The nature of how to do that forensic audit, if the state does it, it can be more expansive to look in other places outside of the municipality. So it could go to individual sources. If we do it, we're confined to the municipality. So
okay.
There's a limiting factor. So, and I've had conversations on that, and I support the fact that the monitor is pushing that the state do it.
Okay, well, that's good news, because it just seems like the answer is always the state has said no twice. And again, maybe these are rumors, but what happens is these things go into articles that when people search Google, whatever you want to call it, for our town, these articles are coming up. So the value of our town is going down because of all the negativity in this situation with the district. So if I'm coming here a year later or 2 weeks shy of a year later and we're still having the same conversations, I don't understand how, you know, we're in this situation where the townspeople are finding these things out, finding out they're cutting, you know, special needs support and JV sports, and people are going bonkers. And again, the articles, News Channel 12 is here. This doesn't look good for our town. So our township is not a destination when our schools are going to be failing. So that's a problem, that it just is like, well, we're here, we are a year later, we still want to know. So I'm just saying it out loud because you're all reading the comments on Facebook clearly. And it just doesn't look good. So I plan to stay in Nutley, but I have to question, should I sell my house now? Because as the schools start to fail, who's going to want to live in my house?
Yeah, I think it's an emotional statement to say the schools will fail.
Well, okay, so that is one thing I want to say, because if you're meeting monthly on this One Nutley committee, listen, if students' IEPs are not met, lawsuits are going to be filed by many, many parents. Additionally, not only are lawsuits going to be filed because the IEPs are not being met, they're not, students are not getting the aids that should be provided, but there are going to be requests for more of out-of-district placements, and out-of-district placements are wildly expensive.
So, Amy, I asked the question, will any child that has an IEP not have a paraprofessional come September? The answer was no. They all will have them.
Somebody can say that, but when they've eliminated the jobs and made them part-time, they eliminated many of them. And
but paraprofessionals are part-time jobs.
Okay, but listen, I'm only going by what's presented at the school board meeting and what's being stated. That's all I'm going by.
No, and I agree with you. I think that what they did was very confusing and it did not present it very well. We, as the education committee, had a very intention of schooling them on better communication and better presentation because it's so important. It's not good for our town to get people into an uproar over by chasing shadows. They need to know the facts.
Exactly. So thank you for that. And so my last question about money and funds and what's happening with the district. I mean, Commissioner Scarpelli, you said, you know, probably by the next meeting, they're going to restore JV sports. Maybe they are. That would be great. But is there any opportunity for a one-time transfer of any part of the fund balance to go into the district? Okay, so that's an easy answer. Okay, so my last thing is, do we have a policy that we won't have any investments? I guess as our fund balance, it's required to remain in cash investments?
Cash, and we're not allowed to invest it in the market. We can put it into money market type.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Accounts.
Okay, so crypto, do we have a no crypto policy? Okay, I just want to make sure there's an actual policy.
Oh, yeah, it's state. It's states. We're not allowed.
That's why I'm asking you. Okay.
Our state policy, it's very limited what we can invest in.
Okay, perfect. And then the last thing I want to ask is it possible to get some pro formas, kind of like, I see on here trash carts, first to five installment payments, $270,000. I mean, that comes to $1,350,000. The stated amount before was $1,200,000, and okay, it's over 5 years, that's great. We don't have to pay it all up front. But then there's also an increase in garbage and recycling of 222,022. Are we able to get some like pro formas? Can we present to people? I think people might throw away a lot less stuff. They might start composting. If people understand that there's $3 million spent on handling the garbage and that it's an increase, regardless of going with the carts, there's still a $222,000 increase.
So to the mayor's office, they track tipping fees, which is the disposal.
Right.
And the mayor can comment on the fact it's been shown that we're putting away less.
Right. So could that start being published? I mean, again, I just think that we all appreciate having our garbage picked up. Believe me, I'm grateful. I grew up in the country. There was no garbage pickup. So I'm grateful. But I just feel like, you know, when it's an extra $222,000 projected for the year, it sort of is like, how are we not going down? And I understand the numbers are going down, but it's a concern. Like, will it continue to rise every year? Because if it rises every year for the next 5 years, then we're up to almost $1.5 million over 5 years.
It's a question of tonnage. How much tonnage is being disposed of? And what's the cost associated with disposing it? Cost associated with dispose is going up.
Okay. Well, again, it's just that we're spending $1,350,000 on carts and we're going to go up $1,350,000, so someone needs to be publicizing this. That's all I'm saying.
And just to add on that, we entered a new contract period, so the old contract expired. It was a 5-year contract, and now we're into a new contract period. And so when you shift into a new contract period, you're going to see a stark change in the price because the old contract was a flat year-to-year standard fee. The next contract is the same flat standard year-to-year fee. So the shift, or I should say the increase from year to year going forward should be a lot more muted.
Okay, well, that's good news. Thank you so much. So I do appreciate that this is a lot of time. Thank you for the time and asking the questions. I represent myself, but I feel like because I have the time today and I did some research, it was worth it to come and talk about these things. And also, I just want to, again, advocate for a zero-based budget next year. I think if the district did it, I feel like the town could do it. It's just, I don't know, it's an exercise. And I understand it takes everybody's time and attention, but it might be worthwhile. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My name is Thomas Aramondo. I own two multi-unit buildings that are more than four units. And we recently had this storage charge, which is something new. And I think it's unfair that anyone that owns a residential property more than four units pays double the amount of storage charge, and also an extra charge for water going in, clean water. And I'd like to know if you can give me a good explanation of why that is. I think it's just a way to generate more money for the town. It's very, very unfair.
Commissioner?
Yeah, Mr. Armando. We looked at, we actually changed a little bit in the ordinance. I don't know if you looked at that. We got three tiers now instead of...
There's four tiers from what I understand.
There's three tiers on the commercial side and on the residential side. Tier one, tier two, and tier three.
Yeah.
And so we changed that a little bit in response to...
Can you talk slow, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
We changed that in response to some of the issues that were brought up. Mm-hmm. There's still an increase over the one to four residential units, and that is because of the amount of sewage that's produced from those buildings and what else is being put into the, there's more washing machines, there's more.
But it's still the same water.
It's not water. It's not water that we're treating. We're treating sewage. We're treating the chemicals, we're treating the shampoo, we're treating the washer machine discharge, we're treating the toilets that are discharged, we're treating all that.
I understand that, right. But you're doing the same thing in a one-unit building.
In a one-unit building, there's one washing machine,
yes.
There's one shower.
You can't convince me.
It does make sense to us, and it's not.
I think it's a way to get more revenue, and it's very unfair.
Well, let me, and Commissioner Evans can jump in any time. We have sewage costs, $4.7 million that we pay to Sake Valley Sewage. We have to pay that bill, one way or another.
And so,
One way or another. If everybody paid the same rate, everybody's going to pay a higher rate, right?
Yeah.
Because commercial properties that produce different chemicals and stuff into the system, they have to go at a different rate. And it's not just water. You're getting billed on the consumption of water. That is the way you're being billed because we have to have some way of measuring it. But we still, at the end of the day, have to pay Passaic Valley $4.7 million. There's no other way to pay for it.
Now, Mr. Petrocchi, you have a business. How did it affect you with that?
It has affected me.
Okay.
And I've asked many questions myself, and we've had conversations as well. And I've asked both Commissioner Scarpelli and Commissioner Evans about the commercial properties, because obviously it affects both of us. And, you know, in fairness to them, their answers that I have gotten are very similar to the same as
Jody's told you about, we have to pay the sewer bill no matter what, like we discussed. And, you know, they have both been telling me that it's not perfect and they're working on a solution to all these questions. Is that fair enough?
And I think we made some changes and we made some changes in response to that.
Pardon me, John?
We made some changes in response to people's concerns. And some of them are not as charging as much as we were before. There's an in-between rate.
That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to be heard on the budget?
Move to close.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
Mayor, I have one more step to
go ahead.
This. Resolution 116-25 would be read tonight if we were adopting our budget. And for the record, we, for municipal purposes, we need to raise $44,176,408.12. For the minimum for the library is $1,851,813.10. As we have discussed multiple times, I need a motion to table this resolution for this evening. So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco? Aye. Mayor Kelly?
And but I need a vote to I'm sorry.
Aye.
I'm sorry. I thought you did. I'm sorry. It's my glasses. We are going to table this and defer the adoption probably to the June timeframe. All right. So. Ray, do I need another vote on this? Are we good? Okay. Yeah, we did. Okay, fine. We're good. All
right. You mentioned about washing machines and stuff. I have a 5-unit and a 6-unit with no washing machines. So how does that affect me?
We can't.
Think about
Mr. Armando, it would be nice if we could go into each. Tom, if we could go into each unit and figure out what's in there, that would be great. But we can't.
No.
We can't.
No, but it should be.
So that then you'll be using less water because
that's why it's unfair.
Let me finish. You'll be using less water without 5 different washing machines and 5 different you know, other things that you're using to put into the system, right? You will have less water usage. So therefore your fee will be less.
Yeah, but I'm still paying the rate of.
You're paying a different rate. Yes, you are.
Which it shouldn't be. Thank you.
It's. That's it. I think when you look at income producing properties versus a one family residential, it's a little bit.
I think the next resolution will be read by Commissioner Scarpelli.
Whereas public works professionals focus on infrastructure, facilities, and services that are of vital importance to sustainable and resilient communities and to public health, high quality of life, and well-being of the people in the Township of Nutley. And whereas these infrastructure, facilities, and services cannot be provided without the dedicated efforts of public works professionals who are engineers, managers, employees at all levels of government and the private sector, who are responsible for rebuilding, improving, and protecting nation's transportation, water supply, water treatment, and solid waste systems, public buildings, and other structures and facilities essential for our citizens. And whereas it is in the public interest for citizens, civic leaders, and children in the Township of Nutley to gain knowledge of and maintain an ongoing interest and understanding of the importance of public works and public works programs in their respective communities, and whereas the year 2025 marks the 65th annual National Public Works Week, sponsored by the American Public Works Association. Whereas this year's theme, People, Purpose, Presence, highlights how public works makes communities safer, more vibrant, and a better place to live. Now therefore be resolved by the Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley County, of Essex State, New Jersey, do hereby designate the week May 18th through the 24th, 2025, as National Public Works Week in the Township of Nutley, and call upon all citizens to acquaint themselves with the issues in providing public works and to recognize the substantial contribution of our professionals, engineers, managers, employees make to protecting our nation's health, safety, and advancing the quality of life for all. I proudly move this resolution and congratulate all of my public works workers. So moved, Mayor.
Second.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
That's all I have, Mayor.
Thank you. Commissioner Petracco, I see you have none on.
I don't have any, and I'm going to stick around.
All right, I have five. The first one I have on is Resolution Number 10925, Food Allergy Awareness Week. You know, although I don't have a food allergy, as you can tell, I'm struggling with my allergies right now. Whereas Food Allergy Awareness Week was established as a national week of encouraging food allergy awareness and supporting those who are affected by food allergies and anaphylaxis. Whereas food allergies affect as many as 32 million Americans, including 6 million children, whereas the prevalence of food allergies appears to be increasing among children under the age of 18, which is 2 students in every classroom. Whereas 9 foods account for 90% of all food allergy reactions, peanuts, tree nuts, milk, egg, wheat, soy, fish, shellfish, and sesame. Whereas a food allergy is an immune system response to a food the body mistakenly believes to be harmful. When a person with food allergy eats this food, his or her immune system releases massive amounts of chemicals, including histamine, that trigger a cascade of symptoms that affect the respiratory system, the gastrointestinal tract, the skin, and or cardiovascular system. Anaphylaxis is a serious allergic reaction that comes on quickly and has the potential to become life-threatening. There is no cure for food allergies, so strict avoidance is the only way to prevent an allergic reaction. Whereas Food Allergy and Anaphylaxis Connection, the team, FACT, is a national nonprofit organization committed to their mission to educate, advocate, and raise awareness for all individuals and families affected by food allergies and life-threatening anaphylaxis. Therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley County of Essex, State of New Jersey, that recognized the week of May 11th to the 17th as National Food Allergy Awareness Week and encourage all residents to increase their understanding and awareness of this potentially life-threatening medical condition, improving the quality of life of the 32 million Americans affected by food allergies and anaphylaxis. So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye. The next one I have on for this evening is for National Nurses Month. I just want to extend this special congratulations and thanks to our town nurses. Whereas nurses serve as the first point of contact for most patients and perform the most essential healthcare tasks, and whereas the American Nurses Association recognizes the invaluable contribution of nurses worldwide and the real-life challenges they face every day, and whereas this annual celebration is dedicated to elevating nurses' voices and recognizing their unwavering commitment to patients, communities, and better healthcare outcomes for all. Whereas celebrating, honoring, and supporting nurses during National Nurses Week provides a high-impact opportunity to promote the value of nursing, advocating for the profession, and sharing impact stories which all play a critical role in driving awareness and reaching a wider audience. Whereas even though nursing is both a rewarding and challenging profession, data shows access to support systems and tools are critical for a healthy workforce, and 40% of nurses who practice regular self-care report 40% more rates of anxiety and depression compared to those who don't. Whereas American Nurses is continuing their tradition, where the American Nurses Association is continuing their tradition of shining a spotlight on the contributions of the nation's more than 5 million registered nurses throughout the month of May. And now, therefore, be resolved that the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley County of Essex, State of New Jersey, along with the American Nurses Association, recognize the month of May as National Nurses Month. Celebrating the 2025 theme of the power of nurses to transform health highlights the significant impact nurses have had on innovation, healthcare, patient-centered care. The American Nurses Association will also focus on the resilience, expertise, and heart nurses bring to their patients and communities. And therefore, be further resolved that National Nurses Month is celebrated through the entire month of May, with a special focus on National Nurses Week, which begins each year on May 6th and ends May 12th, the birth date of celebrated nurse Florence Nightingale. So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye. The next one I have on for this evening is for raffle licenses, the VFW Postal Auxiliary Number 493, Stored E. Edgar. license number 3125, off-premises 50/50 cash raffle, Wednesday, October 8th. Wherefore, applications have been reviewed and approved by the municipal clerk and police department. Now therefore be resolved by the Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey, that the aforementioned licenses are approved and the municipal clerk is authorized to issue said licenses. So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye. The next one I have on for this evening is resolution number 11225. This is for a shared service, with the school board, to handle their trash and rubbish removal. This is for $39,000 in year one, $39,000 in year two, $39,000 in year three, $49,000 in years four and five. Be resolved, the Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey, approve the shared service agreement with the Nutley Board of Education for solid waste removal by F. Basso Jr. Rubbish removal for which the township will be reimbursed the yearly amount commencing on November 1st, 2024 through October 31st, 2029. So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
The last one I have is on behalf of the entire board, and this is for planning and consulting services related to the On3 Hoffman LaRoche redevelopment. This is a professional service contract going to FAR Planning, located at 190 Veterans Drive, northbound New Jersey, and we believe they're qualified and best suited to provide the services to this township. FAR has completed the business entity disclosure certification, which certifies it has not made any reportable disqualifying contributions to a political candidate or candidate committee in the Township of Nutley in the previous 1 year, that the contract will prohibit them from making any reportable contributions to the term of the contract. Funds are available from account number 5-01-226-205 and will be certified by the Chief Financial Officer. Such certification will be attached to this resolution and will be reimbursed by escrow accounts to be established with the designated redeveloper on the subject property. Whereas FAR has submitted a proposal for services in accordance with the proposal from services at a cost not to exceed $75,000. Whereas the anticipated term of this contract is for 12 months, May 6, 2025 through December 31st, 2025. That therefore be resolved by the Board of Commissioners, Township of Nutley, County of Essex, State of New Jersey, that the Mayor and Municipal Clerk are hereby authorized to enter a contract with FAR as a professional service contract in the amount not to exceed $75,000. And a copy of this resolution, as well as the contract, shall be placed on file with the clerk of the Township of Nutley, and a notice in accordance with the local public contracts laws of the State of New Jersey shall be posted in the Nutley Sun. So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye. And Mr. Bruno, I believe we have meeting open to the public. Anyone wishing to be heard on any item, whether it was on the agenda or not, is free to approach the microphone and state your name for the record. Seeing none, Mr. Bruno, we do have a need for executive, is that correct?
Yes, Mayor, we have a need for a closed session to discuss
the case. I will entertain a motion for
second.
Whereas Section 8 of the Open Public Meeting Act, Chapter 231, Public Law 1975, permits the exclusion of the public from meeting in certain circumstances, and whereas the public body is of the opinion that such circumstances exist, and whereas the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley and the County of Essex and State of New Jersey desires to proceed to close executive session, and now therefore be resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the Township of Nutley, moving to close executive session to discuss litigation, be it further resolved that at the time when such discussion may be disclosed to the public shall be when and such disclosure may be made without adversely affecting the Township of Nutley, pending and or anticipated legal, personnel, contractual matters, and other matters within the exceptions provided for by statute. This resolution shall take effect immediately. Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye. And we won't be conducting any more business this evening. Our next meeting is Tuesday, May 20th, 2025 at 7 p.m. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Evans?
Aye.
Commissioner Tucci?
Aye.
Commissioner Scarpelli?
Aye.
Commissioner Petracco?
Aye.
Mayor Kelly?
Aye.
The time is 9:23.